I think many of us had already heard, but I wanted to add one more to the prayer list that we have before us here at Danville, and that's the name of Royce DeBerry, who preaches for the Eastside congregation. He's recently been diagnosed with leukemia, and we want to keep he and his family in our thoughts and in our prayers. He does a great service to the cause of the Lord, and we just pray for Royce during this time of illness. The passages that verses that Mitchell read a minute ago have to do with probably one of the most familiar parables that our Lord gave while He was here upon this earth, and He gave a number of them. By some estimates, He gave spoken 40 parables while He was here on earth. And this is, as I said, a very familiar one. We teach it to the children know about the man with one, or the man with two, or the man with five talents, and those are things that we talk about in Bible classes, and got a lot of good lessons from them. But let me ask you something, when we look into this, do we really get the correct picture when we think about the parable of the talents? You know, we use the term talent today, we talk about having talent shows. Or, TV programs, America Has Talent. And when we think of talent, we think of someone's ability. We think of someone's aptitude. You know, well, he has a great deal of talent. And this is the way that we use the word talent, and we do so simply because of this parable. As a matter of fact, probably talent wasn't used that way until, you know, some of the English translations of the Bible, and then people began to use the word talent in that way. Well, this person has a great deal of talent. But when you look into the parable, that's not the way that the word talent is used in this story. As a matter of fact, talent is separated in the story from one's ability. Look again at verse 15. He gave one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Oh, we have to separate one's talent from one's ability. We don't do that quite often. We just kind of blend them together. Well, what is a talent? When we look into the context of the story, well, a talent, ladies and gentlemen, was a large sum of money. We talk about 5 talents, 2 talents, or 1 talent. We're talking in the realm of money. As a matter of fact, talent wasn't really a coin, but it was a weight. It was, coins weighed so much, and so they then became, through that weight, a talent. You look at the New Testament, you're going to find that the coinage of the New Testament was what is referred to as a denarius. I know in the Old King James Version, we read a penny. You know, that word had been translated penny. But when you think about it, as far as the Roman government is concerned, the coinage of the first century was a denarius. And here is a denarius with the picture of Caesar on it. You remember the time Jesus asked, you can have a denarius, you got a penny, let me see whose inscription is on it. And, of course, it would have been Caesar's inscription. But that was a coin of the first century, a denarius, and it would have been equivalent to a day's wage. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 2, when Jesus gives the story of a man who hires a number of workers beginning at the, early in the day and going into the 11th hour, he would agree to pay them a denarius. And that would have been a day's wage, which adjusted for inflation would in today's currency be about $47. So a denarius would be equivalent to about $47. Well, this brings us back to a talent. A talent would have been about 6,000 denarius. So when we look at the story of the parable of the talents, we've got to recognize that when we talk about when the master of the story gave or distributed talents, he was giving actually a pretty good sum of money to his servants. And I'll get more to that in just a moment. But here was a man, in the story of the parable of the talents, here is a man that was a very wealthy man. He had a great holding. He had, you know, just a whole lot of holdings, and he was going to go on a journey. So he didn't want his holdings to lie dormant. He didn't want them to be idle. So he calls in three of his servants, and he distributes to them some of his holdings. And he gives to these men these talents, and then he goes on his journey. And then when he comes home, he expects that the servants that he had distributed these talents to, that they could, increase his wealth and increase his holdings. Now, this is not a lesson given in economics. Jesus is not giving an Econ 101 here. He's not giving a lesson in economics. What the Lord is giving is a lesson in doing what we ought to do with what we have been given. That's the story. Now, what the Lord is going to do is hold these men accountable and let them answer for doing what they could with the opportunities and the abilities that have been afforded to them. That's the whole context of the story. Have you done what you could with your opportunities and with the abilities that you have? Well, let's go to the story for just a moment, and let's notice now, he gives to the one servant 5 talents. That would have been equivalent to about $1,410,000 American dollars. That's a lot of money. And he says, that's why, you know, here, I will give you, you've got, you know, this much money is what I'm going to weigh, and you put it to work. And then he gave to the servant with 2 talents, so it would have been equivalent to about $564,000. And then he gives to the man with one, gives 1 talent to one servant, and that would have been about $282,000. And it gives, like I say, you know, he's given a lot of money in today's currency to these people. And he expects them to put it to work. Look at verses 14 and 15. He's going away. He gives to one 5 talents. He gives to another 2. And he gives to another 1. And, you know, somebody said, well, now this is not equal. This man is not being fair. It is equal, not in dollars and cents, but it's equal according to their abilities. You see, all men and women are equal in the eyes of God. But not all of us have the same abilities. Now, we can deny that. You know, I think a lot of times when it comes to sports, for example, we deny the fact that, you know, there's some that have abilities that others do not. You can't teach some things to some people. You know, you can't teach speed. You can't teach certain things to certain people. And that's the way it is. We may be equal in the eyes of God, but we all don't have equal abilities. God's going to give some of us some opportunities and some responsibilities based upon our native or our natural abilities. And that's just a fact. Now, you know, the question, and I consider it to be a big question, the big question is not, are we equal in abilities? No, the answer to that would be no. But that's not the question that we need to be focused upon. The question we need to be focused upon is, am I using the ability that I have been given? Am I putting that to use? You see, that's the question. And when we think about it that way, we have, and apply it to the church, we have to recognize something here. You know, not everyone in the church has the same ability. Not all of us in the church have the same degree of abilities. But at the same time, when we recognize that, we have to understand that we're not, regardless of our abilities, useless in the eyes of God. When you take in the church, you take, I'll tell you what now, God is looking at our abilities. He's looking at our native instinct and our native ability. You know what God says? He says, you know what, I'm going to give you 5 talents, I'm going to give you 2, and I'm going to give you 1, and give you 5 and 2, you know, so forth and so on. And this is what God's doing. But if I've been given 1 talent, and this man's been given 5 talents, and this one's been given 2, it doesn't mean that I'm of less value in the kingdom of God. And that's not the question is, am I doing what God wants me to do with the abilities that I have and with the opportunities that are afforded me? And that's what the Lord is wanting us to see and understand from the story. Are you doing what you can with what you have? And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to be just as straight up honest with you as I possibly can. I really believe that when I began to evaluate my native ability, and I began to evaluate that in comparison with the abilities that other people have, I recognize that what God has given to me is one talent. I believe that. I don't have the abilities that others have that are preaching the gospel. I recognize that. I don't have the formal education that a lot of gospel preachers have. I come from a broken home. I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't learn the truth until I was 25 years old and had two children. I understand my limitations, and I understand that God has not given to me the opportunities and the abilities that He has given to some others. I can't read Greek. I don't have a PhD. I've never written a book. I've never debated in public debate. I don't edit a religious journal. I recognize and I understand that. But you know what I also understand? I understand that there's something in the kingdom of God that I can do. And that God expects me to be doing something. He doesn't expect me to go off somewhere, sit on a bench, and lament the fact that I'm not a five-talent preacher, but I'm only a one-talent, and just, you know, waste away my time. God doesn't expect that. God doesn't want that out of me, nor does He want it out of you. Now, I can remember when I obeyed the gospel. I wanted to get involved, but I didn't know anything. I was green as green could be. But I remember one time Brother Goldsmith, remember the congregation there at South End, he came up to me and he said, "You know what?" Said, "I'm going to be over here at the building on Saturday and we're going to dig up these old shrubs and we're going to paint or going to plant some new shrubs. Will you come and out?" Well, you know what? I know how to dig a hole. And so here, I'll be there. And so I was there, and we worked all day long digging up these old shrubs and planting new shrubs. That's something I can do. You know, and we've got to recognize that maybe we're not five talent. Maybe I'm not a two talent man. But there's something in the kingdom of God that I can do. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 22 that there are some among us who seem to be weaker, but you know what? They're necessary. And that's the way it is. It's wrong. It's wrong to decide that, you know, I'm just a one-talent man, so I'm not going to do anything. That's the whole point in this story here that we're going to see in just a moment. It's not. It's not the magnitude of our talents. It's what we're doing with the talent or the ability that we've been given. Now, Jesus goes on to talk about the use that these three made of their talent. Then he said, or then he who had received the five talents went and traded with them and made another five talents. This guy went to work. And he doubled the talents that had been given to him. So when his master returned, he was able to give him a double amount of what he had been distributed. Well, we continue on. And likewise, he who had received two, he gained two more. And he doubled his investment. And that's what they did. They went to work. And they used their talents. But you know, and I know, that the focus of the story is not on these two fellows. That's not the focus of the story. That tells us what they did, and they're to be commended for what they did. But the focus of the story is the third. The man who had been given $282,000 of one talent. What did you do with yours? Well, he didn't lose it. He didn't pilfer it. He didn't make some bad investments. He didn't, you know, steal it. He didn't go out and waste it. He didn't do any of those things. No, what he did is he went out, he dug a hole, and he buried that talent. But he had received one, verse 18, went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. You know what? He wouldn't even try. He did not put forth any effort. He simply did nothing. He hid it, and then later when the master returned, he retrieved it. I said, you know what? Here it is. Hey, you give me 582,000, here it is. You give me one talent, here it's all back. Give me 6,000 denarii, here it is. I didn't steal it, I didn't waste it. I didn't defraud you. And oh yeah, I didn't do anything. I did nothing. I did nothing with what you have given to me. I couldn't, you know, I'm not this five talent guy. I can understand what he did. And well, he did a good job in the two talents. I'm not him. He did a good job. But you know what? This man did nothing. Now, folks, remember, it's not what we have. It's what we do with what we have. That's important. Think for a moment. When we think of the Apostle Peter, what do we think about? Oh, I know we may think about someone being impetuous, someone speaking, you know, on the fly, shooting from the hip, you know, however we want to put it. Yeah, that would be the Apostle Peter. But in reality, when we think of the Apostle Peter, what do we think about? How do we consider him? He is a man that stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the gospel and was responsible along with the others of, you know, 3,000 obeying the gospel. Now, we think of the Apostle Peter. He was the first one that took the gospel to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. We think of Peter in that way. He did great things, big things. You know what? Peter would have been a five-talent man. He wrote two books in the New Testament. He was the one who confessed that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew chapter 16. Yeah, Peter, he would have been a Andrew, on the other hand. Andrew, his brother, did not, as far as the Scriptures reveal, have the abilities that Peter had. And so we look at Andrew, well, you know what? Oh, Andrew, he may have been a one-talent man. But I'm going to tell you what he did. He started using that talent. And in John chapter 1 and verse 41, when he found the Lord, you know, the first thing that he did is he brought Peter to Jesus. He put that talent. Now what would have happened had he buried that talent? What would have happened if he had hidden that talent? We would not have the Apostle Peter. So you see, he wasn't able to accomplish what Peter accomplished, but you know what? He did what he could. He did something with the abilities that he had. And we read in John 12, rather, of these Greeks who came. They came to Philip, you know, and they said, hey, we would like to see Jesus. And Philip, he didn't know what to do with them, so you know what he did? He went to this other one-talent guy. He went to Andrew. And then they took those Greeks to Jesus. And again, they may not have done what the Apostle Paul was able to do. They didn't go off to Asia Minor and establish church after church after church, convert people after people after people as far as the record goes. But you know what? They did what they could. They did something with the abilities that had been given to them. And in Mark 14, you know the story of when Jesus went to Simon, the leper's house, and he was having this supper there, and here coming this woman with an alabaster flask or an alabaster box, and she broke it open and took that spikenard, that ointment, and she anointed the Lord's head, and everybody, oh, you shouldn't have done this. Woman, what in the world is the matter with you? We could have taken that and sold it and made, you know, help the poor. Jesus said, listen to me. This woman, verse 8, did what she could. Now I may mumble and grumble and growl and complain and fuss and feud about all. Am I doing what I can in the kingdom of God? Am I doing with what I have what God expects me to do with it? Or do I go out here and I just sit down and I just look at the five-talent man or I look at the two-talent man and I complain about what he's doing or what he's not doing? Truth of the matter is, am I doing what I can with the abilities that God has given to me? That woman could not have been Joseph of Arimathea. She had no tomb to give to the Lord, but she was anointing his head for burial. She did what she could. And the Lord said, you know what? As a matter of fact, let me tell you something. Wherever the gospel is preached, this woman's act and her deed will be mentioned, and I'm mentioning it today. Because she did what she could. Why did he bury the talent? Well, why did he do that? Well, you know, I think we're given some glimpses into why he buried the talent. The master of the story comes home, and he calls, you know, these people. I want you to give an account. Let's settle up. Now, how'd you fellas do? While I was gone, what did you do? Well, you know, verse 20, why the five-talent man and the two-talent man, they come in and they give him their, you know, what they had made while he was gone. But verse 24. Then he who had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. I was afraid. And went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. I'm going to give it back to you. I was going to give it back to you. But the Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. He said, Lord, I'm going to tell you something. I went out here and I dug this hole and I put that money in the ground because I was afraid. I was afraid. Was he afraid of failure? Could have been. That could have been part of it. He could have thought, well, you know what? No matter how hard I work, I can never have enough return to satisfy the Lord. If I double mine, and I have two talents, and all I'm going to have 564,000. I'm not going to have nearly what these others had. And so maybe he would just pray. You know, I can't do that. I'll fail. I can't possibly do that. And I say that, and I got to thinking here. You know, you may say, what, J.R.? You know, I don't believe I've ever heard you lead a song. Well, that's right. That's right. But you know what? I tried to do that. I can remember I preached down in Southern Kentucky. Well, those folks they were singers down there, and they expected everyone who wore trousers to be a singer. And my trousers may be purple, but I wear them. And so we had a singing school down there. And we had Brother Vance Watson from another congregation. He come in. He was going to teach us. This guy was a singer, and he could teach singing, and you know what? It got to be my turn. And so here I did. I climb up here, you know, and I'm standing up here with Brother Watson. And he's got this little pitch pipe, and I'm looking it over, and I didn't even understand that. He tells me, well, here's your key, and he says, you blow it. I said, well, where do I blow? And he said, well, you blow right here, and I blow. You know, I didn't know you could blow three of them at the same time. But I did, you know. I blew that, you know. Well, he blew it and he got me started, you know. And I took off and he stopped me. He said, well, we're going to start this again. And he blew it and he started. He stopped me again. Well, you know what? After doing that three or four times, he shows me to my seat. He said, well, you just go ahead and have a seat. We're going to try somebody else. Well, you know, I learned right then. That was not my best. But you know what? I give it a try. I made an effort to do that. This is what God wants. I don't have the ability that this person's got or that person's got, but God has given me the ability to do something, and I need to find out what it is and not dig a hole and bury that talent. I need to do what I can do. Now this man, I can't do what those folks did, so I'm not going to do it. You know, that's like a kid, you know. I'm going to play football, but if I tell you what, if I can't be the quarterback, I'm going to quit. I'll play baseball, but if I can't be captain of this team, I'm going to quit. Well, you know, that's the way we are sometimes. Oh, I know. Yeah, I know the church here needs teachers in a desperate way. I know that. But you know what? I can't teach as good as this one. I'm not going to teach. I'm going to get in there and I'm going to fail and I'm going to make a fool of myself. Hold on, not me. You get somebody else. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out here and dig a hole and I'm going to bury it. And I'm going to come in here and I'm going to find me a good, comfortable bench and I'm going to sit down and listen to somebody else. Because you know what? I can't do it as well as this guy. And so I'm just going to bury my time. You know what? I'm not making the money that so-and-so's making, so you know what? When it comes time to contribute, I'm just not going to give. They're not going to miss my little piddling amount anyway, if I was giving like brother so-and-so was giving, why, they'd miss that, but they're not going to miss mine, so I'm just not going to give. You know what you're doing? You're burying your talent. You're just simply digging a hole and putting it in the ground. And this is wrong. What can you do? You know, maybe you can't teach a class, but you know what you can do? You can get on the telephone and you can call somebody and say, hey, listen, do you need a ride to church? Do you need a ride to Bible study? Is there something that I can do to encourage you? You see, that's just putting the one talent to use. And this fellow was afraid of failure. I can't do it. Not me. I'm afraid I'll fail. I'll tell you something else about him. Not only was he afraid of failure, he didn't trust his Lord. Did you notice that? Did you notice what he said about the Lord? Look again at verse 24. Well, Lord, you're a hard man. Lord, you're a hard man. I knew that. And you're going to reap where you've not sown, and you're going to gather where you've not scattered. Well, you know, it doesn't mean any good. You know what he's saying? What he's saying to the Lord is, you know what, Lord? I just don't think you're going to give me a fair shake. You're just not going to give me a fair hearing. It won't do me any good. I can't trust you to give me a fair shake on this thing. And we don't do that, do we? We don't say things like that to the Lord. We don't say, Lord, I just don't trust you to give me a fair shake. We would never say anything like that. Or would we? Well, Lord, I'm going to tell you something. I'd like to really get involved and I'd really like to go to heaven, but you know what? I just don't think I could ever hold out faithful. Lord, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I think you're going to throw stuff on me that I just cannot overcome and I just don't trust you. That's the same thing this guy did. Lord, I just don't trust you to get a fair hearing. Oh, you want me to study my Bible? And you want me to increase? I can't understand the Bible. Well, I can't. I just don't get anything out of the Bible. I can't understand. I don't study. I can't. You know, even though the Bible tells us to study to show yourself or be diligent to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, and we say to the Lord, I can't learn your word. I'm just not going to give it a try. You know, we're saying the same thing. You know, I just can't trust you, Lord, to do what you said you were going to do. I can't break this habit. Well, man, I'm telling you something. I had this habit for 40 years, and I just can't break this habit. You know, I just can't trust you. You know, you look at us, and we mentioned this a moment ago. I may not be an Apostle Paul. I may not be able to accomplish some of the things that you can read about early Christians accomplishing, but I'll tell you one thing I know. One thing that I know is if I'll submit myself to God, that He can do abundantly greater than anything that I ever even dreamed that He could do with me. And I trust Him to do that. This man didn't trust his Lord. He was afraid of failure, but Jesus cuts to the chase and said, you know what your problem is? You're lazy. You're lazy. You're wicked and you're lazy. And that really is telling us that laziness equals wickedness. You know. That's just what. You're just lazy. Well, he said, Why, you wicked, verse 26, and lazy servant. What are you talking about all these other things? Well, don't you know what the problem is? You're just lazy. You know, out on the 10, could it be lazy? You know, I don't, you know, the list back there talking about people need to clean the building, and we always begging folks to, well, you know, we need somebody to clean the building in August, or we need somebody to clean the building in September. You know, why don't we do that? Could it be just slothfulness? We don't want to do it. It's going to take too much effort. This man was lazy. Well, I don't extend hospitality. I'm just maybe lazy. I don't go to all the trouble doing that. And, you know, we can just, you know, just go down the list here. Well, why aren't we doing what we can? Now, we may not be able to do what a 5-talent Christian or what even a 2-talent Christian was able to do, but you know there's something we can do, and maybe sometimes we're not doing it just because we're lazy. The Lord knows. And look how the parable ends. He said, you know what you should have done? If you weren't going to do it, don't go dig a hole. Well, at least deposit it in the bank, and that way you can get it back. But you're going to make a little bit of interest on that. But he said, you cast this one, verse 30. You cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There will be weeping and there will be gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you something. When you stand before God in judgment, He's not going to say to you, He's not going to say to me, J.R., how many talents did you have? That's not what He's going to say. The question is going to be asked, how did you use the talent you received? Or how did you use the talents you received? That's the question. And that's what ought to be staggering to us. Have you been faithful with what you were given? I got to tell you something. I believe it is as presumptuous for a Christian to think that he can do nothing as it is for a Christian to think that he can do everything. That's the story of the parable of the talents. And he said in verse 29, for to every one who has, more will be given. And he who will have an abundance from him who does not take, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. You know, I've often struggled with that. You know, what God is telling here is, okay, hey, listen. If you're not going to use what you got, and you're just going to sit on the bench, or you're going to dig a hole, and you're not going to use what you got, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to take it away from you. And I'll give it to somebody. You see, that's what happens when we neglect. When we neglect, then, you know, it won't be long. Well, I can't do that. I tell people, you know, you don't have to commit adultery to destroy a marriage. All you've got to do is neglect the love that spouse is trying to give to you. You just neglect it. You don't have to be an abusive parent to drive your children away. You just neglect giving to them the love that they deserve and that they need. Just neglect it. I remember talking a little earlier about being in the service. I remember the year and a half that I lived in Germany. You know, I actually learned enough German that I could travel and I could make purchases and I could ask for directions and I was able to communicate somewhat. But that was then, this is now. I don't use that. I quit using it years ago and I have forgotten it. I have forgotten it. And that's the way it is. If we neglect to use what God has given to us, it will be removed. And when we stand before Him in judgment, we will be condemned. That's why the Hebrew writer asks in Hebrews 2 and verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? So the question that I have for you this morning is, have you done what you could? Have you done what you could with the ability that God has given to you? You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Act upon that. Repent of your sins. confess your faith that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Be raised to walk as a new person in newness of life. Then spend your lifetime doing what you can with what you have. And you'll hear the Lord say one day, "Well done, you good and you faithful servant." That's what it's all about. If you're subject to the invitation, won't you come right now? Together we stand and ask.